to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Verimot. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, June 7, 2021. Some women activists in South Sudan are calling on the Transitional Government of National Unity to respect the terms of the 2018 peace agreement.
We are not breaking. It is our right, like any right of other parties who sign the agreement. We are signatories in the peace agreement.
And employees of a private security firm are demanding for a better pay.
Already for 2 months ago, they have reduced their payment until to the level where you cannot even bring food on the table.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese women rights groups are calling on President Salva Kiir to delay the swearing-in of the country's national parliament until partners in the Transitional Government of National Unity are able to allocate 35% of positions to women. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
So far, it's only the SPLM-IO that allocated at least 35% of its slots in the National Legislative Assembly to women. The rest of the partners in the unity government, including the Transitional Government of National Unity, or TGONU led by President Kiir, the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, former detainees and other political parties, or OPP, did not meet the 35% affirmative action figure allocated for women as stipulated in the revitalized peace deal. According to the agreement, 192 appointees should be women from all of the parties. Only 174 women have been appointed by the parties, which amounts to 32% or 3% less than the required amount. Mary Akech Bior is the chairperson of the Women's Bloc of South Sudan, one of the women groups calling on leaders to fulfill the 35% affirmative action allocation for women.
We are not breaking. It is our right, like any right of other parties who signed the agreement. We are signatories in the peace agreement. We accepted to have 35%, then complaining and need more than that. And the little we accepted is not yet being fulfilled.
Akech says leaders of a majority of the political parties are not paying attention to the issue.
They're still monitoring. The one they are working for right now is the mistake happened during the nomination of their own members. It is not about the women document. Nevertheless, we still have to stand up. We are their daughters. We are their mothers. We are their sisters. So no one among them have no females in their families. So they have to look into this.
The women are also calling on President Kiir to ensure that the parties review their forthcoming appointments and meet the 35% quota for women's representation at all levels of government. The women's groups are also demanding that the Speaker of the National Parliament be a woman. The parties have continuously disrespected the women's representation requirement in the unity government as stipulated in the revitalized peace agreement. During the nominations to the unity government at both the national and state level, key parties, including the TGONU, which is led by President Kiir, violated the 35% affirmative action requirement. Paul Mayom Akech, a member of the TGONU committee working on nominations of party representatives to the unity government, had this to say about the 35% allocation for women.
If some inadequacy has occurred wherever it has occurred, there are all the other possibilities, and there is all the open-mindedness, and there is all the willingness to get these matters right as we move forward. And the threshold that I'm talking about, you do not have to get 35, 35 here, 35, or 25, 25 here to make the ultimate 25.
Albino Akol Attack, spokesperson of the other political parties, admits that his party did not fulfill the affirmative action allocation, which he says resulted from a conflict within the party.
The OPP composed of six signatories. to the agreement. And district signatories, when there is a decision, it is them to sit down and agree and make a decision. And this decision will only be considered legitimate if six of them sign on it. But the recent appointment, all those who have been appointed in the ticket of OPP were all from one person only, who is Honorable Peter Mayen, who is one of the signatories of the OPP.
Ataka says OPP members are working on the issue to ensure inclusivity and consider the 35% women's affirmative action requirement. Pork Both Baluang is the Director of Information and Public Relations for the SPLMIO.
It's clear that some parties and our partners in peace, I think they have their own way, or they don't believe in, you know, the women participation in the peace process.
Chapter 1 of the peace deal requires the national parliament to be reconstituted with an expanded number of 550 lawmakers. Under the agreement, the Tigonu Party nominates 332 lawmakers, the SPLMIO nominates 128, the South Sudan Opposition Alliance nominates 50, other political parties nominates 30, and the former detainees nominates 10. The reconstitution of the parliament is far behind schedule. The deal demanded that the parliament be reconstituted 8 months from the date of forming the unity government. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on Women Matters, female Cameroonian activists and opposition members have appealed to the United Nations Security Council meeting today to discuss possible solutions to escalating Boko Haram terrorism and separatist crisis in the Central African state. They are also asking the UN to force Cameroon to respect human rights, release political prisoners, and negotiate a ceasefire with armed groups. Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaounde that the government has refused to respond to the appeals from the women.
20 female leaders say in a letter to the United Nations Security Council that Cameroon, once the bastion of stability in Central Africa, is today conflict-ridden and on the brink of catastrophe. They say that more than 10,000 Cameroonians have died in the Boko Haram conflict on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria and the separatist crisis in the Central African states' English-speaking western regions. They accuse Cameroon's government and rebels of gross human rights violations. Edith Kawala is the president of the Cameroon People's Party and founding member of Stand Up for Cameroon, which advocates for a peaceful transition to rebuild Cameroon. She says the women want the Security Council to include Cameroon on their agenda.
We want the UN to give us help now. We don't want them to wait till the situation is so bad and then to start telling us that they are bringing UN soldiers here. We want them to act now. Our population is dying. Over 1 million children are out of school. We cannot sit by as our country falls apart. There is no peace without respect of human rights, without justice.
Walla said the women want the UN to require Cameroon to respect human rights and release all non-violent political prisoners linked to Boko Haram, separatists, and the political crisis in the Central African state. The women say that for the sake of peace, UN member states should ask Cameroon to allow free public discussions on political transition. Cameroon's 88-year-old president, Paul Biya, has been in power for close to 40 years and is accused of wanting to hang on to power until he dies. Ejani Leonard Kulu is a Cameroonian political analyst at the UN University for Peace in Addis Ababa. He says it is very unlikely that the United Nations will take up the female leaders' proposals. He says the United Nations has already helped Cameroon, Chad, Nigeria, Niger, and Benin contribute troops to a joint task force to fight Boko Haram.
The UN is a partner in managing the crisis in Cameroon. If we should take Boko Haram, remember the multinational joint tax force. It is financed and supported by the UN. The crisis in Northwest and Southwest, the UN has pronounced itself on several occasions that is an internal problem which Cameroon alone can solve.
Kulu said Cameroon female leaders should have carried out advocacy with the five permanent members of the Security Council, China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States to ensure discussion of Cameroon at the Security Council. In another letter, the female leaders asked International Monetary Fund Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva to stop disbursing funds until the Cameroon government shows proof of transparent management. Tumainon Namjoya is mayor of the western town of Fumban, an official of the Cameroon Democratic Union and a former lawmaker in Cameroon's National Assembly.
Nous avons concomitamment saisi le FMI.
Joya says the female leaders are not indifferent to the high wave of corruption and theft of public funds in Cameroon. She says many government ministers have been asked to explain what happened to a $335 million IMF loan intended to stop the spread of COVID-19. She says it would be unfair to continue to give loans to Cameroon when the government has not accounted for amounts already received. Cameroon government spokesperson René Emmanuel Sadi did not respond when contacted by VOA about Njoya's comments. In a release read on state radio, Cameroon promised to investigate corruption and punish those found guilty. Cameroon, a majority French-speaking country, is facing several problems, including a separatist crisis in its English-speaking western regions and Boko Haram terrorism on its northern border with Nigeria. Cameroon also suffers the spillover of the crisis in the Central African Republic, with attacks by rebels on its eastern border and political tensions from Biya's long stay in power. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Some students from Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology in Bor say they are concerned over the delay in reopening the university following a year-long lockdown due to COVID-19. The vice chancellor of the university says the institution has not reopened because a company contracted to supply food was not paid. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino has more from Juba.
Magok Machot, a student at Dr. John Garang University, says since the end of the 2019 academic year, students were hopeful that they would resume school in 2020. But due to the COVID-19 related lockdown, the students failed to resume classes. He says when the lockdown was lifted in April, he was surprised to see that the Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology did not reopen.
What is so hard about reopening of the university? While coronavirus lockdown was lifted by the government, or which other high institutions of learning, government institutions, markets, churches, international traveling, and cultural events like wrestling are now functioning. Flooding was also a challenge affecting university, but during the arrival of construction materials and commencing ceremony for groundbreaking for ongoing construction in the university, so Vice Chancellor promised students to be patient as the reopening will be sooner. But now long-awaited moment has come to an end without healthy or official information regarding resumptions for studies.
Machot says he heard that the university had a meeting, but there was no clear resolution as to when the university would reopen. He says after raising several complaints to university administrators, students were later informed that the university cannot reopen because the university's food supplier was not paid. Machot is calling on top government leaders to support the university administration to clear the money so that students can resume classes. Machot says several students decided to stay close to the university in hopes that it would soon resume classes, but their wait has been in vain. Atiye Dengpool, Another student at the university says while the students want to complete their education and join job market, the delay in opening the university is consuming their time and means and fears they will no longer be able to stay in school.
Now, like myself, I am a finalist. I should have finished in 2020 and now we are in 2021. And still, the university is not opening. And now there are a lot of opportunities that are coming my way, but I don't have documents so that I can apply. But if the university opens, we can graduate and look for jobs so that you help yourself and your family members. And this is a big problem squeezing us.
Professor Abraham Matoch Dal, Vice Chancellor of Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology, says when the lockdown was lifted, the university started with supplementary and substitute examinations, which they finished, but the university could not continue because of a lack of food.
Our students are in fact, and the contractor has not been paid his money, and the contractor has not availed food. And therefore, we cannot open the university for the students to come and stay hungry. That will be inhuman. And we have been in a series of meetings with the Minister of Finance, Minister of Higher Education, and now I am on standby as the Vice Chancellor to see the President on what policy they will decide after that.
Samuel Machar, the food contractor at Dr. John Garang University, says he was contracted in 2019, but a big portion of his money has not been paid for feeding over 2,000 students at the university.
In total of 2 years, the 2019 up to today, we need, I suppose, to be paid $2 billion as ST. Because what you do, or the calculation that you usually done, you multiply the number of students for a year or the month of the academic year.
Machar says he knows the Minister of Higher Education has been trying to take up the issue with the former Minister of Finance, but he doesn't understand why his payment is delayed. Still, he says he signed a contract with the government to supply food. He says at times when he attempts to contact the Minister of Finance to follow up his money, he is not allowed to access to the minister's office. Machar says he will not risk losing any more money on supplying the university with food this academic year unless he is paid. When South Sudan in Focus contacted Gabriel Chang, Minister for Higher Education, he said he did wish to make any media comments because he is working on resolving the issue. Finance Minister Athiang Ding Athiang did not answer repeated calls to comment on the story. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, employees of a private farm demand a better pay. Find out why after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A row is brewing between the management of Veteran Security Services Limited and the deputy mayor of Juba Town in charge of infrastructure and development. The employees of the private security firm petitioned the office of the deputy mayor seeking his intervention in a pay raise dispute. The management of the security firm accused the deputy mayor of interfering in its affairs and inciting employees to go on strike. For VOA News, Ding Magot has more from Juba.
One employee at VSS Limited, who agreed to have his voice recorded but did not want his name used for fear of reprisals from the company, says he and his colleagues have complained about a reduction in pay to management several times, but nobody listened to them. He says employees had enough and went on strike last week.
Already for 2 months ago, they were reducing our payment until to the level where you cannot even bring food on the table. So that's why all of us reacted violently to this. Of course, we went to the head office there and we made some distraction, a little bit of, little just not small distraction, just we
we break some other doors, and then we get some of the staff there who are the victims of this right to come and answer what happened.
The anonymous VSS worker says the employees have gone on strike in the past and the company agreed to increase their pay, but this time he says the firm has not implemented what it agreed to do.
You know, several agreements has been made. You know, we made an agreement for 250, you know, 250 to be paid to all of us. Because it's like we are now divided. The gas services are now divided. Other locations are being paid in dollars, like 250, and then others are being paid less than $100. So those who are paid 250 are working for 8 hours. Yet those who are paid in less than $100, they are working for 12 hours. And they are doing much of the job. So what we want now, we need a uniform payment right now.
The anonymous worker says following last week's strike, police arrested more than a dozen employees and detained them at a police station in Gudele's Kubri, Abuba area. He says the detainees have since been released. The worker says when he signed his contract, the agreement was payment of $40 per month. On strike some months ago, the firm agreed to pay workers $100 per month, which is the equivalent of 45,000 South Sudanese pounds. He says the salary should now be $100 per month for security guards in regular locations and $250 per month for security guards in diplomatic locations. During this strike, he says workers are asking for a uniform salary of $250 per month for both regular and diplomatic locations. A letter written by the VSS Board of Directors accuses Deputy Mayor Thik-Thik Mayardit of initiating the strike involving himself in the labor issues, including rates of pay, terms of employment, among others. The letter is copied to Presidential Affairs Minister Mariel Benjamin, Interior Minister Paul Mayom Akech, Justice Minister Ruben Madol Arroy and National Security Director Akol Kur Kuch, among others. A senior VSS manager who prefers to remain anonymous for security reasons but agreed to have his voice recorded says he is confident that relevant authorities will take the required actions to resolve the dispute.
VSS, through their board of directors, have reported our concerns to the South Sudanese authorities with a letter, which we have also forwarded to you, and we're confident that the relevant authorities will take action as required. We're also concerned at the effect that this will have on future foreign investment.
The VSS representative also says the deputy mayor has threatened their management staff with deportation and has threatened to close their company. Mayardit denies he incited the VSS employees to strike, but says he met with a top official of the security firm last week.
I only met with the new country director last week on Wednesday. And what we have been discussing with him, these are the issues pertaining with the problem which they are having. Because in their contract, they signed the contract with those people in dollars. And when coming to give the dollars to the people, they come and give the pound. Those were the grievances.
Mayardit has threatened to take legal action against the management of VSS. He also says the letter in question is not authentic because it was not signed. Mayardit says he is ready to take the matter to court on behalf of VSS employees.
I'm going to open the case against them. Even if it means I will go to East African courts, I will go with them. Because this is by betraying me to the people of the Republic of South Sudan, which is not true, and the people of South Sudan know my colors.
Veterans Security Services provides private security services in South Sudan. The company employs nearly 2,000 South Sudanese staff members. For VOA News, I'm Ding Magotin Juba.
In advance of World Food Safety Day, UN agencies are calling for concerted action to ensure food is free of toxins that every year cause the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
A UN report on global food security finds nearly 690 million people suffered from chronic hunger in 2019, before COVID-19. The full impact of the pandemic on food insecurity is not yet known. However, the report estimates as many as 132 million more people will have been short of food in 2020 because of COVID-19 lockdowns. Dominique Bourgeon is director of the Food and Agriculture Organization office in Geneva. He says food safety is key to food security.
Every year, 600 million people fall ill, one in 10. About, and 420,000 die from eating food contaminated with bacteria, viruses, parasites, toxins, or chemicals. Yet, this is the tip of the iceberg, as comprehensive surveillance data for foodborne illnesses is not available everywhere.
Moreover, he says unsafe food causes significant financial burdens in low and middle income countries, amounting to productivity losses of some $90 billion a year. UN agencies say food safety is a shared responsibility and everyone has a role to play in keeping food safe and keeping people healthy. Bourgeon says this includes those who produce the food, industry, governments, and consumers.
The way you store your food, the way you cook it, but of course it goes, I would say, from farm to fork. So really at the beginning of the process, the way food is being produced, the type of way the food is stored, and then the way it's transported, processed, etc.
UN agencies say food safety involves a holistic approach that considers human, animal, plant, and environmental health. Understanding and keeping all aspects of the food chain safe, they say, will contribute to a healthy life and a healthy planet. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
That's all we prepared for you today. We'd love to hear what you think about this program. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We now leave you with the song Ye Marie by JJD Musica.
JJD Musica International. Panasalia Musala. Ramadan il lular abui mulusi tome petrekisha moyo mabo ya tina tawara lono kana kongo rezo ya kanye sie kumote la kaya kazolo nyabo kite kele kite usala sabara le wimala sene tana mabuja mikano intame ya la grasa de Dieu. Moses Malumalu, Panablu, Rokwe Mandela, Ngokolo.
Nakato babiri handigo haiba ye mawe loti na ndela wata ye Utongiyo na rumini la lela kemala dume abireja Adigare mwamani la sukulu fisika surumbeti ye Asimo kidando mjo ni muto mboro koko lele kano.
We've been listening to JJD Musica with the song Ye Marie. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
ni kora akapila longi rono loka na tuke wake mama na esa kuna kolo kitu kama lilote laki amule Samson kosi kosi matos katolipina
maela kina tawara loro kana kokoro su kuya kaje sengu motela kaya kajolo na bukitele ikibu sala saparo musala